Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of the steps to take when going through sin's consequence, we were talking about the danger of compromising with other religions. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I like what the late Henry Morse says about this. Listen, as I read this, it says how common it is, yet how tragic. For God's people to compromise with paganism of the world and then try to justify it by reason of worldly acceptance and prosperity, which such participation often yields. The long-range danger of compromise is that the professing believer will also be involved in that ultimate sure judgment awaiting the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, we see God hasn't changed the preacher or the message in chapter 44. It's Jeremiah still the preacher and the message is still the same. And so we see the incriminating charges made here in verses 2 through 14. Now, I'm just going to kind of, through the 44th chapter here, do a running commentary and hopefully you will allow God to even add more as you take notes and listen. In verse 2, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Now he lets them know that he is God Almighty. He's the Lord of hosts, but he's also the God of Israel, the one they've rejected his command. Most recently, the command to stay in the land. And as when we do not obey God's word and leave the place he's called us, it ends up the same testimony that was in Jerusalem, that was before their eyes. Desolation, and there's no man there, no man in the land. Now, folks, they'd been told ahead of time God was going to do this because they'd turned their back because of their compromised religious worship and their compromised lives. Well, they thought they knew better than God. And so this is what happens. In verse 3, he says, but because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. They crossed the line, like going from true Christianity to Catholicism or Hinduism or Mormonism. God hates very passionately the sin of ecumenical worship and cooperation, and of course Revelation 17 and 18 will show that. And I think a day of prayer is good, but I don't think a day of prayer is good when we're coming together with all kind of religions. I remember years ago, there was a group in town here. Boy, they made it a big deal. We want to have 24 hours of prayer. We're going to ask pastors of different churches to take 30 minutes and come to this place, and each one take 30 minutes, and the people who are gathered there will be there for prayer, and the pastor will pray aloud and then finish off the rest of his 30 minutes silently as the others are praying silently in their place. And they called me a few times and wanted me to come. So finally I said, okay, what time you want me there? And they told me, and I said, I'm going to pray loud. They're praying silently. Yes, that's the way it was going to be. So I got up. And I said, Lord, you can't bless us until we have a revival. And we need to quit this stuff. People are rocking and rolling in their church. Women are dressing in modestly. Boy, I prayed that way. You know what? It's been years. They've never asked me to come back and pray again. I didn't pray what they wanted me to pray, but I prayed what God wanted us to pray. Okay? And I don't say that to be arrogant. I'm saying God hates these days of prayer that blaspheme Him. It was recently a gentleman prayed at a national day of prayer. It's been a couple of years ago, but he's supposed to be a good evangelical man of God. But he did not pray in the name of Jesus because he's afraid that he would offend some people. Well, my friend, that's not the kind of Christianity I want. I want a Christianity that's a proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of this chapter, he says, "Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early, and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate." Now, God warned these people often through his servants, the preachers. He didn't want this destruction that happened to Jerusalem and Israel. He tried to turn them from it. He sent people often. It just didn't happen with no warning. Rising early means at the beginning stages when people thought, well, hey, it will never get to that point. It will never get like that. I don't know if you realize this, but when income tax was first introduced, there was a congressman who opposed it. And he asked this question, "What is to prevent our government from raising our taxes up to as much as 5% of our income?" Well, they laughed him to scorn. Now, there's a lot of us that wish it was only 5%. And we say, it won't get that bad, and that's what people were saying. They never thought Baptist churches would have rock and roll, immodesty, and positive-only preaching, never preach against sin, but it's there. And so in verse 5 he says, "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods." You know, as a pastor of my local church, and really on this radio broadcast, I have a responsibility to preach the truth. Now, I need to preach the truth in love, but I need to preach the truth. The reaction is not my responsibility. It's yours. That's the way it was with Jeremiah. He preached God's truth. The reaction was up to the people. But God mercifully warned them by Jeremiah's preaching. And you're listening to this broadcast, and you don't like some of the things that I've said here, although I'm backing it up with the Word of God, just understand that one day you'll stand before God. And you won't be able to say, well, I wasn't warned. And verse 6 says, "Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day." Again, he reminds them of the results. It's right to warn of hell to the lost and of the saved being saved so as by fire, and show them past examples, just like the Lord did here. He says, look at your land. Look what's happened. And so in verse 7, he says, "Therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain." Wow, he tells it as it is. And none of them will remain. Now, there may be some children that later will. We think of the children of Israel in the wilderness. All those from 20 years old and up that went into the wilderness didn't get to come out. Except, of course, Joshua and Caleb. But those others, millions, didn't get to leave. And we see the same thing here. They won't get to leave Egypt. They'll be killed in Egypt in a very hard way. There'll be in Israel, is what they're being told, but you won't have descendants in Israel. Your descendants are going to be cut off. This evil is against your own souls. You know what that reminds me of? I can't help but to think of when they brought Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate said, "This man is innocent. He's washing his hands." And the people said, "His blood be upon us." Then you get into the book of Acts, and these same people are saying, "Hey, you're bringing this man's blood upon us." Well, they did call for his crucifixion. So in verse 8, he says, "In that ye provoke me into wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth." Well, isn't this interesting now? The result. They've got involved with this other religion. They started worshiping like they do, incorporating it into their worship. And the Lord says, well, you do that, you're going to be a curse and reproach among all nations. Have you ever heard of anti-Semitism in all the nations? It's here today. They were warned. In verse 9, he says, "Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness which ye have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?" Wow, he hit it pretty hard. As a matter of fact, twice here in verse 9, he mentions the wickedness of their wives twice. He's getting hot. He's preaching hard. So he reminds them of their wickedness of their kings, their wives, and result, their own wickedness. Now they're not in the land. Well, they think Jeremiah's beginning to meddle. Now Jeremiah's being politically incorrect. He's also attacking their wives. But you see, they were responsible, these men, for their wives. Not only the king's wives, but men, you're responsible for your wife. And as Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I always told my children, they're all grown and gone, but I told them, "My door will always be open to you. You hit a hard place, you can come back and you can live with me. But I also want you to know, if you're under my roof, you're still under my rules. I don't care if you're 40 or 50 years old, you're still under my roof, you're under my rules, and you're going to my church." And that's it. People say, "Well, I don't think you should do that." Well, I think I should, and that's what I'm going to do. It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, if you don't want your house to serve the Lord, don't do that. But it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, because God has given me that responsibility. And it takes us into verse 10. "They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers." Well, he lets them know they're not humbled. They're not contrite. They've not feared nor walked in the word of God, according to his word. They haven't obeyed it. And if they had, they wouldn't be where they are now. See, people too often try to judge God by blaming him for their consequences rather than their own actions that have brought their consequences. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.